We're on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, and we're trying to figure out what's the din of a Chomesh on Al Gabi Chomesh in the case of Hegdesh. Means he was Poda Hegdesh and he added a Chomesh. Now he wants to be Poda that Chomesh. Does he have to add a Chomesh onto the Chomesh? So the Gemara asks, but typically, Dahavile Hegdesh Sheni, L'chora, there's no suffix over here because since the Chomesh is not Hegdesh because of itself, it's only Hegdesh Sheni. In other words, it was only Hegdesh by virtue of a pigeon to replace a different Hegdesh. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, a Hegdesh Rishon Mosif Chomesh, al Hegdesh Sheni Eino Mosif Chomesh. According to the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's clear that even if a person comes back to be Poda the Karen and he was Machal on at Hegdesh, he doesn't have to be Mosif Hegdesh, he doesn't have to be Mosif a Chomesh. How much more so? He doesn't have to be Mosif a Chomesh on a Chomesh. So we'll try to give, you know, English words for Hegdesh Rishon, Hegdesh Sheni. We'll call Hegdesh Rishon the primary Hegdesh, and we'll call Hegdesh Sheni the secondary Hegdesh. In other words, Hegdesh Rishon means he owned property and now he was Poder, the field, let's say that he was Magdish, and he added a fifth. That's called Hegdesh Rishon. Now you have already Hegdesh Sheni. Hegdesh Sheni means, let's say for example, he took that property that was Hegdesh and he was Poder onto a second property. That's called the secondary Hegdesh, that's Hegdesh Sheni, and here he doesn't have to be Mosif Chomesh. So according to Rabbi Yeshua Levi, Chomesh has to be added only on the first pigeon, and if he doesn't have to add Chomesh to a Hegdesh Sheni, then certainly he doesn't have to add a Chomesh to Chomesh. Omale Rav Papa L'Ravina, Rav Papa, in order to defend the original Safek, and reject this Kal Vachomer that we based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says Hachi Amar Rava Chomesh Kitchilas Hegdesh Dami. In other words, Chomesh doesn't have the same status as Hegdesh Sheni. Hegdesh Sheni was only sanctified as a result of another object that was sanctified. The transition between Chulin and Hegdesh, in the case of Hegdesh Sheni, is a result of an original Hegdesh. That's not so in the case of Chomesh. Chomesh is like Tchilas Hegdesh. It's like Hegdesh Rishon. It's not like Hegdesh Sheni, because he wasn't Mechal Hegdesh onto the Chomesh. He was Mechal Hegdesh onto the Keren, and he adds the Chomesh. That Chomesh went from the status of being Chulin to the status of being Hegdesh, not as a replacement for anything that was Hegdesh. And that's the reason why Rava has a suffix vacillating back forth as far as the status of a Chomesh. You have to add a Chomesh onto the Chomesh, since that Chomesh is Hegdesh Rishon. My Havil, the Gemara says, what's the maskana as far as the suffix? Omrav Tuvyomi Mishmei Dabaye Omakra V'yosaf Chamishis Kesef Erkecha Makish Chumsho Lekesef Erko, Makesef Erko Mosif Chomesh, Af Kesef Chumsho Nami Mosif Chomesh. So the maskon of the Gemara is that if you're Pode Chomesh, you have to add a Chomesh al Gabi the Chomesh, and this is based on a derivation from the Pasuk in Vayikrach of Zayin, because that Pasuk postulates an analogy between the Chomesh and the Hegdesh itself, meaning the Keren itself, just like the Keren itself, which is called in the Pasuk, Kesef Erkecha. If you poda it, you have to add Chomesh. So too, that Chomesh itself, which is called in the Pasuk Kesef, Chumsho, V'yosef Chamishas Kesef, that also, like the original Keren, the Kesef Erkecha, requires an additional Chomesh. But now the Gemara wants to pick up Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Al Hegdesh Rishon Mosif Chomesh, Val Hegdesh Sheni Eino Mosif Hegdesh. So Gufa means we want to study that statement. Omer Rava, my taima to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. What's the logic that you're not most? You don't have to be Mosif a Chomesh when you're being Poda Hegdesh Sheni. Omer Kra, he derives it from the pasuk V'im Hamagdish Yigal Es Beso. And this pasuk, let's just see where the pasuk is so we can see it inside. The pasuk is right there. Actually, it's in the same pasuk as we saw earlier. Vayikra Chav Zayin pasuk Tezvav, and the pasuk says, "Im Hamagdish Yigal Es Beso Hamagdish V'lo Hamatpis." So this pasuk, which is the source for Chomesh, singles out the Magdish and not the Matpis. The Magdish is the one who took Chulin and made it into Hegdish. That's called Hegdish Rishon. And then when you pull to that, you need to add a Chomesh. That's the subject of this pasuk. But Matpis is somebody who is poda a chefetz of Hegdish onto a chefetz of chulin, so the hegdesh starts from a transfer from another object that was hegdesh. That's called hegdesh sheni, and in such a case, eino mosif chomesh. So the mute is in the pasuk. Now, as far as hegdesh sheni, toni tana kabe de Rabbi Lazar, there's a pasuk again. In Vayikra Chav Zayin, this time it's Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'im Babehema Hatmeya Upada Be'erkecha. This Pasuk tells us that if you're Poda a Behema Tmeya, then you have to add a Chomesh. It means, again, you know, when we talk about Hegdish and a Behema Tmeah, obviously we're not talking about Kedushas Mizbeach. A Behema Tmeah cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. But we're talking about Bailus of Hegdish, which is called Kedushas Domim. And if he wants to be, and the value of the Behema Tmeah as it's sold on the market, with that money will go to the Bedek HaBayis. He wants to be Poder, the Behema Tmeah, he has to add a Chomesh. And that is explicit in the Pasuk. And the Gemara quotes now this price of Rabbi Elazar that darshins this pasuk ma behemet mea miuchedes shetchilasa hegdesh. In other words, this case of behemet mea is what we call hegdesh rishon. It wasn't that he was matvis a pedia through a pedia hegdesh from some other place. The Gemara is going to try to explain later on how do we know this for sure that this is Tchilas Hegdesh. And therefore the Gemara says V'kula Lashamayim. In other words, the Bailim don't have any chelek in this, because in a case of Behemet Tmei it goes to the Bedek HaBayis, so they were mafkia all their Bailus, and this now becomes Momen Hegdesh B'kinyano Umol in Ba. And if you derive benefit from this hegdesh, you're chayv mishum me'ila, af kol shetchilasa hegdesh v'kula lashamayim molim ba. Anything that's hegdesh rishon, and it's completely hegdesh, the Bible don't have anything in it, molim ba. There is me'ila. And this is a statement about hegdesh sheni. Because what we're saying about Hegdesh Sheni is the face of it, it seems that this Brisa is excluding Hegdesh Sheni from Me'ila and limiting it to a case of Kodshei Kedushas Bedek HaBayis Domin, which is Kula Shamayim, as opposed to Kedushas Mizbeach, doesn't lend itself to Me'ila. That's an untenable position. We'll see Rashi later on. Amale Rabbi Elazar Litana, Rabbi Elazar said to the Tana who brought this Brisa, Bishleim, I can understand Kula Lashamayim Bolim Ute Kodshim Kalim. It's got to be an object which was sanctified in such a way that the Baalim have no ownership rights whatsoever. That's called Berek Abayis, to the exclusion of Kodshim Kalim, where the Baalim have some sort of an ownership rights in it. Kevon de Isluhu Baalim Begavaihu. The Baalim still have a certain vestige, a certain element of ownership in the Basar. They can eat the Basar. Is Lesbu Me'ila. Therefore, it's not Me'ila because they're not using or misappropriating something that belongs totally exclusively to Hegdish. They have Shutvis in this Kodshim Kalim. And therefore, there's no Me'ila. That I can understand. El Tchilas Hegdish Lema'ute Mai. Are you telling me that only the original Hegdesh, that he was Magdish, is subject to Me'ila, but when he takes that original Hegdesh and he transfers it through Pidyon onto another object, which is Hegdesh Sheni, such a Hegdesh Sheni does not have a Din Me'ila? Is Tchilas Hegdesh who this Bei Me'ila, so Hegdesh less Bei Me'ila? We don't know that such a Din exists. That you, if you would makpis the kedusha from the first hegdesh to the second object, therefore there's no me'ila. That's not true. Dilma, perhaps, therefore le'inyan chomesh ka'amrit. What this price is trying to teach us is a din of chomesh, which means Kirabi Yoshua ben Levi, who said that on the pigeon of Hegdesh Rishon, you add a Chomesh, but on pigeon of Hegdesh Sheni, you don't add a Chomesh. Omalei, so that Talmud said to Rabbi Lazar, Ein Hachi In, Hachi Ka'imna. That's what I think the Brisa had in mind. So now the Gemara asks Akash on the Brisa. The Brisa assumes that the Hema Tmeya is Tchilas Hegdesh. Why does that have to be so? Amalei Rav Ashi L'Ravina Behema Tmeya B'Tchilas Hegdesh Isa. And here we turn to Nun Heimanav Ubi Emse Hegdesh Lesa. Is it not possible to be Makfis the Kedusha from Hegdesh onto Behema Tmeya? That's not true. Why does the Bryce assume that we're going to derive from Behema Tmeya that you're not most of a Chomish on a Hegdesh Sheni? Who says that this Behema Tmeya is Hegdesh Sheni and it can't be Hegdesh Rishon? Amalei Ravina says to Rav Ashi, the basis for this derivation from Behema Tmeya, that you're not most of a Chomish on Hegdesh Sheni, is Lefi She'ena B'Sof Hegdesh. A Behema Tmeya will always remain B'Kedushasa Li'olam. You can be Podeh B'Damim or B'Chefetz Acher, because it's not Re'uya L'Karban. A Behema Tmeya cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Not only that, you can't use Behema Tmeya to build the Beis HaMikdash. So there's no Sof Hegdesh here. Let's try to explain what that means, that there's no Sof Hegdesh. Again, in the case of a behema tmeya, the concept of sof hegdesh, since a behema tmeya is not to be brought on the mizbeach, nor can it be used as building material of bedek habayis, it cannot have the status of sof hegdesh. In other words, the whole purpose of being magdish a behema tmeya is so that you can sell it and use the proceeds for bedek habayis. That I can understand, but there's no reason to assume that a behema tmeya cannot have a hatfasas hegdesh onto the behema tmeya. Now the concept of sof, of what we call sof hegdesh, is identified with something that cannot be subject to pigeon. So when the Gemara says lefisha ena b'sof hegdesh, it means it cannot remain in its status of Hegdesh forever. That's called self-Hegdesh, because what are you going to do with it? Mimonashach, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach, and you can't sell it, and you can't use it for Bedek HaBayis. You can only sell it as a pit and be potent. So the only possibility in this Hegdesh of Beim HaTmeya is to be potent, either potent B'Domim or with another Chefetz. And therefore, what Ravina is telling Rav Ashi is that we can derive conclusions from Beim HaTmeya that you don't have to be Mosif Chomesh on a Hegdesh Sheni, because in the status of Beim HaTmeya is like Hegdesh Sheni, in the sense that that it's not a Sof Hegdesh. Amalei Rav Acha Midivti Ravina B'Emtzei Hegdesh Mi'a Isa V'Losif Nami Chomesh. He says a Beim HaTmeya is Emtzei Hegdesh, because you could be Matvis the Kedusha from the Beim HaTmeya onto another object, is therefore Velosif Nami Chomesh. Let's try to understand the argument of Rav Acha. Rav Acha is saying the following. In fact, this Beim HaTmeya can have what we call an Emtze Hegdesh, because you could be poded onto something else, and therefore why not add a Chomesh? Since we don't have clarity now, says Rav Acha, in Ravina's argument here, Ravina is somehow equating the Beim HaTmeya insofar as it's not Sof Hegdesh with a Hegdesh Sheni. And the contrast in the Pasuk is that Beim HaTmeya requires Chomesh B'Pidyono, but Hegdesh Sheni does not. That's not clear at all, says Rav Acha, because in essence, if you're requiring Chomesh in the case of Beim HaTmeya, why does that exclude a case of Hegdesh Sheni? So the Gemara is equating now the Hegdesh of Beim HaTmeya with the Hegdesh of Hegdesh Sheni, which is called Emtza. So Ravina has to explain his original point. Amalei, so Ravina says, Harehu Kesof Hegdesh. We define Emtza Hegdesh as Sof Hegdesh. Ma Sof Hegdesh Eino Mosif Chomesh. Af Emtza Hegdesh Eino Mosif Chomesh. Again, we're not talking about a case of a Beim HaTmeya, because that's not Sof Hegdesh. So what does Sof Hegdesh refer to? It's something that has no pigeon to it. So what is this case of Sof Hegdesh that doesn't lend itself to pigeon? Now when we say that Sof Hegdesh is not going to be subject to pigeon, it means that it's going to be used on the Mizbeach as is in its status as Hegdesh, or alternatively it's going to be used as part of Bedek HaBayis if it's material, you know, building material, so there won't be pigeon. And therefore, of course, there's no Tosefes Chomesh in the case of Sof Hegdesh, because there is no pigeon in the case of Sof Hegdesh. And the Gemara now is assuming that even Emtza Hegdesh, which means Hegdesh Sheni, should also be considered like Sof Hegdesh, and there's no Tosefes Chomesh. Again, there's a fundamental difference, of course. In the case of Sof Hegdesh, there's no Tosefes Chomesh because there's no pigeon. But the equation is going to teach me that just like there's no Chomesh in the case of Sof Hegdesh by virtue of the fact that there's no pigeon, so too in the case of Emtza Hegdesh, we're not going to be Mosif Chomesh. So that's a derivative from Sof Hegdesh to Emtza Hegdesh. Now, in the case of Behemoth Meah, that's not a Sof Hegdesh because it cannot be used for the Mizbeah, cannot be used in the Bedek HaBayis, and therefore it has a certain similarity Tchilas Hegdesh, and the Pasuk, not coincidentally, singles out in the parasha of Chomesh Behemoth Meah to exclude Hegdesh Sheni. Now, technically, you would say the opposite of Tchilas Hegdesh would be Sof Hegdesh, but Sof Hegdesh means it's being brought on the Mizbeach, and therefore there's no pigeon at all. So there's no reason for the Torah to exclude Chomesh in the case of Sof Hegdesh. Therefore, it's logical to assume that the miut here from Behemoth Meah, as far as Chomesh is concerned, is referring to Hegdesh Sheni. And the similarity between Hegdesh Sheni and Sof Hegdesh is that the whole purpose of setting up this Hegdesh Sheni is to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash. And in such a case, the Torah says that in contrast to Tchilas Hegdesh, or more specifically to the case of Behemoth Meah, which is like Tchilas Hegdesh, where the Torah says you do bring a Chomesh in his pigeon, here in Hegdesh Sheni, you don't add a Chomesh. Again, Hegdesh Sheni in this Gemara is called Emtza Hegdesh. So Amar Lei Rav Zutra Breider Rav Mari Ravina, my chazis to medame slay l'sof hegdesh nedame l'tchilas hegdesh. You have three different levels here. You got tchilas hegdesh, you got sof hegdesh, and you have emtza hegdesh, which is the same as hegdesh sheni. Why do you place hegdesh sheni into the category of sof hegdesh and exclude a chomesh? Why not equate it to tchilas hegdesh? Amalei mistabel sof hegdesh havel dmuye shekein nitvas mi nitvas. Now, what's the similarity here between emtza hegdesh and sof hegdesh? And he says shekein nitvas binitvas. Let me read to you what he says. He says shekein b'shneim akedushin itfeses tmuras hegdesh acher. So in other words, whereas in contrast, Tchilas Hegdesh means you started with Chul and you made it into Kodesh, in both Emtza, or call it Hegdesh Sheni, and in Sof Hegdesh cases, this was a transferal from something that upon which the original Hegdesh was redeemed. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, Adraba L'Tchilas Hegdesh Havile L'Tmuye. Why not equate Hegdesh Sheni with Tchilas Hegdesh? Shekein Dover sheish bar achrav kedusha midover sheish achrav kedusha. In other words, in both cases, we're talking about being makvis something else onto that hegdesh to be motzi them from chulin, as opposed to the case of sof hegdesh, which will not be subject to chilul because it's going to be brought onto the mizbeach or it's going to be used in the mikdash. So because of this question, the Gemara now retreats from the equation, the divion that we made between Emtza Hegdesh and Sof Hegdesh. The Gemara is going to now offer another way, an alternative way of understanding this Yalfusa from Behemoth Meah, that in the case of Hegdesh Sheni, there's no Tosefes Chomesh Kedama Rava, and Rava Darshan's a Pasuk. In Vayikra Vav, this drasha is also brought down in the Gemara in the Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Dalid. The pasuk says, "Ubir Olel HaKohen Eitzim Baboker Baboker." This is called the Seder Marocha. V'Arach Olel HaOla V'Hikter Olel Shchelve Hashlamim. Now, why did the Torah say HaOla, the extra hay of HaOla, to teach us that Ola, which is a carbon tamid, is Ola Rishona? It becomes the first carbon of the day to kick off the avod in the Migdash for that day. There should be no other carbon that's brought before the Tavit Shel Shachar. Is Hachanami, we should dash in the same way our Pasuk of the Imba Behema Tmeu Pada Be'erkacha V'yosaf Chamisha So Olav, that the reason why the Torah added the hay of Hatmeya, the Imba Behema Hatmeya, to tell us that Dafka of Eba Tmeya, which is Rishona, meaning you were Magdish of Ema Schulin, that was Tmeya to become Hegdesh, is we have to add a Chomish to its Pidyon, but Hegdesh Sheni is Ein Mosifin Chomish. So again, the extra hay indicates the first as opposed to the second. We saw that in the case of Karban Tomid, that the din is that the first Ma'arocha has to be done for the Ola Rishona. The Ola Rishona means the first sequentially, which is called the Tomid Shel Shachar. And here, in our pasuk regarding Chomesh, the Torah says Hatmeya, and that's going to exclude anything that's not similar because it's not Rishona. Rishona means the original Hegdesh was Chal in this animal. But in the case of Hegdesh Sheni, which is a derivative of Hegdesh, there's no Tosefes Chomesh. That's what the extra hay is teaching me. The Gemara now wants to establish a proof for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that we don't add a Chomesh onto a Pedi of Hegdesh Sheni. Tanya Kavosi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now we're talking about a person who wants to be poder, a cow or a talus that belongs to Hegdesh. So he takes another cow, which is chulin, or another talus, which is chulin, and he declares parazu tachas par shel Hegdesh, talazu tachas talus shel Hegdesh, is Hegdesho podui. This is a valid pigeon. And the point is that even though the substitute, the second talus or the second para, does not have the same market value as the original para that he was magdish, the original talus, nevertheless, the pigeon is chal. However, he's going to have to pay the difference. V'yad hegdesh al helyona. That means if the para, the talus, shehitvish shavam yosem yishal hegdesh, if let's say this substitute para for the first para is worth more, the talus that he's substituting is worth more than the original talus, then the benefit accrues to hegdesh, they make the profit on the deal. But on the other hand, if the para that he's now substituting or the talus is worth less, then he's going to have to pay out of pocket to be mashlim. And then para zu bechamesh sloim tachas para shel hegdesh, talus zu bechamesh sloim tachas shel hegdesh is hegdesho podui. Which means that if he makes a statement, a declaration, para or the talus that he's using now for pigeon is valued at 5 sloim. So it doesn't mean that, well, he doesn't want this pigeon to take place unless the object is worth 5 sloim. No, he means that the pigeon should take effect with 5 sloim. And therefore, if it turns out that this para, this talus, is worth less than 5 sloim, then although the pigeon is chal, he's going to have to make up the difference to jack it up to 5 sloim. So when he adds that, you know, when he adds the words parzu bi chamesh sloim, it means I'm definitely going to be magdish 5 sloim's worth. And if the par is worth 5 sloim, fine. If it's not, he'll have to make up the difference. But now we get to the final line of this price. This is the punchline for our purposes. Al hegdesh rishon mosif chomesh, al hegdesh sheni ein mosif chomesh. So there's the proof for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that you don't have to add a chomesh on pedias hegdesh sheni. Now we learn the Mishnah. This Mishnah is a takeoff on the shear of Onah. The shear of Onah, we said, was 4 to 24. Honah, Arba, Kesef. For a Mekach that's worth a Sela, there was an overcharge or an undercharge of 4 or 4 mos for a Sela. And that means 1/6 of a Sela. Because there are 24 mos in a Sela. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that there are other dinim that work in a similar kind of way. That means if there's an onah, then the difference, the fraud will have to be paid back to the nis'ana. And then the Mishnah says, "V'hatana shtei kesef avodah shavah kesef." Now we're talking about moda b'miktas, which engenders a shvuas hadayonim, requires that the tviya be on nothing less than 2 mos of kesef. The hodah could be on a shavah pruta, and that's enough to engender a shvuas moda b'miktas taina, yischayv shvuah. But if the tviya was on less than shtei kesef, or alternatively, if the defendant admits to less than a pruta, that's not called moda miktsas, and there's no shvuah. So basically, this Mishnah is talking about dinim that apply to a requirement, a minimum shear of a shavah pruta. And it really doesn't have much to do with whatever else we've been learning here in this perek. But once we clarify the shear of onah, then we're going to clarify the shear of a taina, a kind of a taina that would engender a moda b'miktas if the defendant will admit to a pruta's worth. And what is the taina of the plaintiff? What is the shear that is required? And the answer is the shear of the taina is got to be, it's got to be shtei kesef. Now the Gemara in Shvuas Adaf Lamites darshins this halacha from a pasuk. It says kesef o kelim, ma kelim shnayim af kesef shnayim, and kesef means a davar chashuv. So the plaintiff was suing for a davar chashuv, which means shtei mos. That could engender, if there's a hodah b'miktas of a shavah pruta's worth, a chiv shvuah. And the Mishnah now goes on to say that there are 5 dinim that depend on this minimum shear of a pruta, and if it's less than a pruta, these dinim don't apply at all. Number 1, hodah shavah pruta. In moda b'miktas, in order to engender a shvuah, the defendant has to be moda on at least the shavah pruta. Number 2, isha miskadeshes b'shavah pruta. You cannot be mekadesh an isha with less than a shavah pruta. Hanena b'shavah pruta min a hegdesh mal. If a person misappropriates hegdesh and he uses it for his own purposes, and that hana that he got is worth less than a pruta, he's not chayav an asher me'ila. The minimum shear to be chayav in me'ila, and Mechayev Mila means he's got to bring a carbon asham. It also means that the Hegdesh goes lechulin. That's got to be Hegdesh that's worth a minimum of a Shavah Pruta. And then, Hamotzi Shavah Pruta Chayev Lahachris. If a person finds an object which is worth, and it has a Sima, and it's worth a Pruta or more, he's Chayev to be metapel and to search and seek out the owner of the object. That's called hachroza. Vagozel schaver shavu pruta v'nishbalo yolichenu achrov. Afilu limodai. So if the gazlan stole a shavu pruta and he's now doing tshuva, he's admitting, confessing his crime of Zela, he's got to return the Gneva. And when he returns that Gneva, if he Just one second. He took a shvua in which he perjured himself denying the gzeil, but now he's doing tshuva, he's modal gzeira on the gzeil. He has to return not only the gneva itself or its value, he has to add another 20% of chomesh. He has to bring a korban asham in order to be mechaper for this shvua sheker that he took. And he, if the gzeila is intact, he's got to run after the nigzal to return that gzeila, even if it has to travel on a caravan of camels all the way to Madai. It's not enough to return it to someone and say, you know what, you give it back to the nigzal, because the Torah says in Vayikra Hei Lasher Hu Lo Yitnenu, give it to directly to the person who is the owner of the object, but not to some shliach. The Gemara says, Tanino Charazimna, the Mishnah here seems to be repeating things that it's already established elsewhere. For example, Ho no arba kesef, me'esr v'arba kesef l'sela, which is the equivalent of shtus mekach. So the shear of Ho no is 4 to 24, which is 1 to 6. And that's something, because again, a sela has 24 mos in it. And that's something that we already have in the Mishnah. We already know from the previous Mishnah that the shear of Ono is a shtus. So the Gemara answers, yeah, lo haya tzarch l'shanas Mishnah. There was no need for the Mishnah to repeat the din of shtus in Ono. But since the Mishnah wants to go on to tell us that hataina shtei kesef, v'audash of a pruta, itzrichle. In other words, since the purpose, the thrust of this Mishnah is to teach us that to engender a chiyuv shvuas modu miktas, you need a taina of shtei mos, you need a da of a shove pruta, and we need this din, therefore, he repeats that which we know, agav urcha, at the beginning of the Mishnah, about ona, that the shear of ona is a shtus. So again, it is repetitive, but it's a way, in a sense, a springboard to get to the next part of the Mishnah, namely that the modu miktas requires a tain of shtei kesef, and the odor requires a minimum of a shava pruta. So we review the minimum shear of honor in order to continue and introduce the minimum shear of modu miktas. So the Gemara asks, Hachinami Tanina. We have a Mishnah in Shavuos that already establishes that the minimum taina to generate a chiyuv modu miktas is shtei kesef, and l'odah has to be shava pruta. And we quote now from that Mishnah in Shavuos, Shavuos Hadayonim, which means modu miktas, is we need hataina shtei kesef. The plaintiff is suing for two kesef, two moles of kesef, v'auda shavapruta. So we already have in the Mishnayis, in Shavuos, what you're repeating here in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Sefer Itzrichle, Diktoni Chamesh Prutos Hei. In other words, all that which is brought here in the Reisha is only an introduction to the Sefer. The Reisha is really superfluous because we already have it in other Mishnayis, but it's all an introduction to the Seifa of this Mishnah, which is Chamesh Prutosei. So Agav Urcha, he tells you that the Hodah for a Modu Miktas has to be a minimum of a Pruta, and the Taina itself has to be Shtei Kesef. Let's learn the Mishnah. Chamesh Prutos Hein. Frekta Gemara v'listni nami, ona pruta. Why doesn't ona appear on this list? If somebody is cheated less than a pruta, there's no chiyuv ona. Amar Rav Kahana, zos omeres, ein ona leprutos. That if a person is ma'ana's friend, even if it's less than a pruta, then the din is Hama'anis chaver bepruta. Let's say the mekach is sheish prutos and the fraud was a pruta. Is eno tzarch la'achzer so na ela rak mi isar, shehu matbea kesef katan biyoser Vishavyo Shmone Prutos.
So Rav Kahan is saying that from the fact that the Mishnah omitted Ona Bepruta means that the shear of Ona is not a Pruta, it's a larger shear, which means that according to Rav Kahana, you need a base price of an Isar. Now, the smallest silver coin that we have is an Isar, and that's the equivalent of 8 Prutos. So the minimum amount of Ona is 1/6 of an Isar, which is 1 1/3 prutos. So in other words, if the base price is less than an isar, then there won't be ona, because then the ona is only a pruta. We need an ona of a pruta and a half, which means 1/6 times 8, which is 1, I think that's 1 1/3. I'm sorry, did I say 1 1/2? I meant to say 1 1/3 prutos. The Gemara says that not everyone accepts Rav Kahana. Levi Omar, Yesh Ona Leprutos, that there is a halacha of Ona, which can be calculated in terms of prutos, and a pruta, for example, for a sale that's worth 5 prutos, and he cheats him by 1 pruta, that's going to be a shear of Ona. Tony Levi Masnisa, and Levi had a brisa that says Chamesh Prutos Hein Hona Pruta. Now, in these 5 dinim of a shear, a minimum shear of pruta, Ona is mentioned. Again, we're a little bit at odds here. We're a little bit confused about the fact that our Tana and our Mishnah doesn't mention Ona, whereas the Tana of the Braisa does mention Ona. But in any event, Levi added to the Braisa that which was omitted to the Mishnah, and that means the minimum shear of Ona is a pruta, not like Levi who had it as a 1 1/3 pruta. And amongst the Chamesh Prutos, besides Ona Bepruta, he's got Hoda Bepruta. In other words, that hodah which generates a chiv of modu miksa tiny yishava is a pruta, minimum pruta, kiddushe isha bepruta, gezel bepruta, yeshiva sadayonim bepruta. So this last category of yeshiva sadayonim bepruta is a chiddush, and according to this Tosefta, which is quoted by Levi, it turns out that the minimum shear for a claim in court, in other words, to so to speak, obligate the judges to adjudicate, that's got to be at least a claim of a pruta. So let's say, for example, if the Tovea has Edim, and they testify that the Nitba, the defendant, owes him a certain amount of money, the defendant admits that he owes it, then Bezdin will convene and force the defendant to pay. But they will only do so if the claim is at least a pruta's worth. V'tana didan, my time alok tani yeshiva sadayonim. Why doesn't our Tana mention yeshivas hadayonim? Why was that omitted from our Mishnah? And now what's going to ensue is a long discussion as to whether or not we can somehow subcategorize Yeshivas Bezdin under one of the other categories that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Now, one of the answers as to why Yeshivas Dayanim was omitted from the Mishnah is because it's included on the Gezel. This would also shed light, according to Levi, who holds Yesh Ono Leprutas, why was Ono left out of the Mishnah, although Levi added it to the Tosefta. And the answer is, it's included under the law of Gezel. Again, it's a little bit odd that the Gemara didn't raise this question. The Gemara would rather ask, or prefer to ask from Yeshiva Sadayonim, because that question would be valid according to everybody, whereas the question about Ono depends upon this Machlok, Shrin Rav Kahana, and Levi. In any event, the Gemara is going to say now that Yeshiva Sadayonim is implicit in the Mishnah, and that is Tanale Gezel. Since the Tanav HaMishnah mentions that the minimum shear of Gezel is a pruta, only a pruta or more is something of that has chashivus, and therefore we understand that the claim on the part of the plaintiff of less than a pruta is not going to be mechayev yeshivas bezdin. Now, it would seem to me that this halacha has something to do with mechila, or shall we say that since, as a general rule, there would be mechila on less than a pruta, that's why less than a pruta is not considered mamon lechayev yeshivas bezdin to deal with the claim of the plaintiff. Now, when it says in the Mishnah Gezel, let's go back for a moment to the Mishnah. What exactly is the Mishnah saying over here? It says, "Hagozel chaver shavu pruta v'nishbalo." Notice the shvua on this denial of having stolen a shavu pruta. That shvua will engender a chiyuv karban, a karban asham, but only if the Geneva passed the minimum value of a pruta. And the Gemara is now arguing that since the laws of Karban Asham, etc., don't apply unless the Gezela was on a pruta, we can derive from that the conclusion that a claim of less than a shavu pruta will not obligate the Bezdin to be kover, to convene. So that's why it's not necessary for the Mishnah to mention the law of Yeshiva's Bezdin. The Gemara now objects. The Gemara says, Mi lo tani gezel uktani aveda. Yet the Mishnah does mention both gezel and aveda. And if the argument is that you don't mention Yeshivas Dayanim in our Mishnah because it could be derived from the law of Gezel, then why did the Mishnah have to mention Aveda? Aveda could also be derived from Gezel. So again, the point of this sugya is that once you've established the halacha of Gezel, that less than a shav pruta, which is not chashivus, is therefore, there's no chiyuv Asham when he took that shvua, it follows logically that if you find something that's not worth a pruta, you don't have to return it. So therefore the Gemara's question now is going to be, why does the Mishnah have to mention the din of Hashavas Aveda in addition to the halacha of Gezel, of Gzela? In the case of Moshe Bezdin, you derived it from Gezel. So the Gemara answers on this question, Milo Tani Gezel, Tani Aveda, Hanach Itzrichle. The Mishnah felt compelled to mention not only the laws of Gezel, but also the law regarding Aveda. Gezel, Hagozel Mechaver Shova Prutim Nishbalo, Yoli Chenu Achra Vafil Lamadai, Hamotzi Aveda Shova Prutim Chayv Lahachriz Afal Gav. Dissolve. So there are two chidushim here, one for Gezel and one for Aveda. In the case of Gezel, the chidush is that he, the Gazlan, has to take this object that he stole and he wants to do tshuva. He's got to return it no matter how far across the globe he has to go, even to Madai. And the chidush of Aveda is that even though now it's worth less than a shavu pruta, but at the time that he picked it up and he found that it was worth a shavu pruta, so the fact that it was devaluated, depreciated in value since subsequent to the finding of the Aveda is irrelevant. And chayv lahachriz, afal gav, dizal. Even though this object is now worth less than a pruta, since you found it, that's the critical moment in Aveda. Because the moment you find it, you pick it up, you become a shomer, and you're chayv an ashova. It doesn't matter if it goes now below shomer pruta. That's the chiddush of Aveda. The Levi, my time alotoni Aveda bepruta. When Levi organized his Tosefta, he omitted the case of Aveda, that the minimum shear of Aveda and Hashavas Aveda is a pruta, And the Gemara answers, Tanale Gezel. In other words, the case of Aveda, according to Levi, is subsumed under the din of Gezel. We can infer from the fact that a Gazlan is only Bichayev after he takes the Shruah for a Karbon if it was a Shavah Pruta. From thence we could derive that the same halacha applies to, in the case of Aveda, from the Pruta, the minimum value or shear of a Pruta in Gezel, which means there's some significance here to the amount he stole. And if a person finds property that's worth at least a pruta at its time, when he found it, when he picked it up, then it doesn't have to be shava pruta later on, even if it depreciates in market value, but nevertheless he still has to return the gezel. The Gemara asks, Umilo k'toni gezel v'k'toni yeshiva sadayonim. In other words, you're telling me that Hashavas Aveda could be derived from Gezel. Fine. But the Mishnah did write both Gezel and Yeshivas HaDayanim. And logically, once we have the law of Gezel, and we know that Gezel requires a minimum of Shavah Pruta, that Beis Din is not going to get involved in its less than Shavah Pruta. So why do you have to spell that out? And you're telling me that the Mishnah is trying to be a bridge and therefore doesn't mention anything about Aveda so far as Aveda is subsumed under Gzela. So the Gemara answers, Yeshiva Sadayim Itzrich. There's a Chiddush here in Yeshiva Sadayim, and that compelled Levi to add that into the explicit list of cases. And you'll ask me, Yeshiva Sadayim Itzrich, why do I need Yeshiva Sadayim? Lafuke midrav ktina, diomar ktina, bezdin is kokim afilu lefachos mishavapruta. So the chiddush here of Yeshivas Hadayanim is to exclude the halacha of Rav Ketina, because Rav Ketina says that bezdin has to get involved even if the stolen goods are worth less than a shavapruta. We're going to have to understand why Rav Ketina holds that Yeshivas Beis Din is required even on less than a pruta. We're going to see that soon. The Gemara now asks another question in terms of Levi's list in the Tosefta of a Levi Maitaiva Lo Ketani Hegdesh. Why didn't he mention that the Isur Me'ila is contingent on the minimum shear of a Shava Pruta? So the Gemara answers, Bechulin Kamairi. Levi organized the brice that discusses Chulin. Bekotchim lo Kamairi. We have something similar at the beginning above a comma in the brice of Rav Oshia there, that sometimes the brice is limited in its scope. It's you know, addressing cases that are immediately relevant. But Kotchim, that's not something immediately relevant. Tana Didan, the Gemara now asks, the Tana of our Mishnah is to call Mairi Bekodshim, because our Mishnah mentions that you have a requirement of Shavapruta for the Chi of Me'ilin Hegdesh. Is Nisni Meiser Bepruta, that the shear for Pidjon Meiser Sheni has to be a Pruta? You can't take Paris of Meiser Sheni and be Mechal them on less than a Shavapruta. Again, we always have Chizki's recommendation of how to do it if you have a grape that's worth less than a Pruta. Is Kimanti Omar, the Gemara answers that our Mishnah reflects the Shita, which we'll have much later on. No, I'm sorry, we already had it, of Ein Bechomsho Pruta. That means that it's not enough that the Meiser be worth a Pruta, but rather we need that the Meiser be worth four Prutos.
so that you could add a chomesh, which will be 1/5 of the 4 prutos. But ein b'chum shel pruta, chomesh will be less than a pruta, then the pidyon is invalid. And therefore, getting back to our question, why is it that Maaseh Sheni is not mentioned here? And the answer is because Maaseh Sheni really would be viable in a pidyon situation only if the chomesh is worth a shava pruta. But ein b'chomesh shava pruta, there's no tfisas pidyon. The listener says the Gemara, chomesh maser b'pruta. So, okay, the maser itself is going to be 4 prutos, and the chomesh is going to be 1 pruta. So, why not mention that the minimum shear of the chomesh is a pruta? And the Gemara answers, b'karno kamayri b'chomesh lo kamayri. Just like as we said before, that the brisa of Levi is not referring to kachin, but only to chulin. Here too, we're saying Amish is only referring to karen, but not to chomesh. Now the Gemara is going to raise the question, how do we understand Rav Ketina Gufa, Rav Ketina Beznes, Kokam Afilu, Pokshav Pruta, Masiv Rava? Rava asks the following question, in the Pasuk in Vayikra, hey, where there's a chiyuv of Korban Hashem Be'ilos, it says, Ace, the Ace Asher Chata Min HaKodesh Yishalem, L'Rabos, Pachos Mishava Pruta Lihishavon. In other words, you have to return to Hegdesh, if somebody was moel in Hegdesh, even pochos mi shavapruta. And we're going to be medayik now. L'kodesh in avalehejo lo. When do we have to return a pochos mi shavapruta that's only to Hegdesh? But if it's to a hejo, then there's no chiv to return pochos mi shavapruta. So clearly then, Rav Ketina is out to lunch here. How does he justify that Bezdin are nizkakim, they have to adjudicate a case of even Pachs Mishav Pruta, Ella, but rather we have to reinterpret Rav Ketina, Itmar Hachi, Itmar, this is what Rav Ketina had to say, Om Rav Ketina, Im Huskaku Bezdin, Lishav Pruta, is Gomrim Afilu, Lipachos Mishav Pruta. If let's say the one of the Bali Dinim was claiming from the other one a pruta, so Bezdin got down, you know, to business in order to judge whether or not in fact this did take place, meaning that the plaintiff is correct in his claim and the defendant really did owe him a shava pruta. But now the plaintiff becomes the defendant, because the defendant now sues the plaintiff for a pachas mishava pruta. That's where Rav Ketina says this kakim bezdin, because once they took up these two bali dinim as far as a pruta, now they have to continue to judge them as far as the pachas mishava pruta. And the reason for that is betchilas hadin beinon pruta. But the Gmar din lo beinon pruta. We need, in order to kick off the din, we need a minimum of a pruta. But as far as the Gmar din is concerned, we don't need a pruta. I want to mention the Ritvaya, it's a chiddush here, that when we say that the tchilas din requires a minimum of a pruta, he says that's only in terms of a cash claim. But if the claim was on a be'en, on a specific object, that the, according to the claim of the tofer, the nitba is hiding it, he's concealing, he's holding it for himself, even if that chefetz is not worth a pruta, nevertheless, Bezdin will have to adjudicate because it's on a chefetz. Let's just learn the Mishnah here on Daf Nun Hayim and Beis, and Bli Neder will continue in the sugya tomorrow. Chamisha Chumshin Hayim. There are 5 situations in which you have to add a chomesh to the monies that you chayev. Eluhein, these are them. Number 1, Zar Ha'ochel Truma. If a non-Kohen ate Truma b'shogeg, he's got to replace that Truma and add a chomesh. Utrumas Maser. The Levi is Mafresh 1/10 of his Maser. and he gives it to the Kohen, that's called Truma. And Truma's Maser Shel Dmai. Here's another case where you require Chomesh, and that's the Truma of Dmai. Okay, we'll try to clarify that as we go along. Then we have Vachala, Vabikurim. In all these cases, the din is that a Chomesh must be added. And what do we mean by Chala Bikurim? We're talking about a Zar who ate Chala or Bikurim Bishogeg is Mosif. He has to add onto the Keren a Chomesh. Vapode Neter Vai Maiser Sheni. If a person has fruits from the trees in the fourth year, that's called Neter Vai. Or a person wants to be Poda his pears of Maiser Sheni. Right, in all these cases where the Iker Din is that he take it to Yerushalayim and eat it be Kedusha in Yerushalayim, or to be Poda it and to bring its dung to Yerushalayim and buy food there, is Shelo Mosif Chomesh. So in the case of both Neter Vai and Maaser Sheni, he has to add a Chomesh, meaning when he's poda the Maaser Sheni money, he has to add a pigeon of a Chomesh, and it all depends on what the value of the payrolls are, but once you arrive at such a sum, then you could figure out what one-fifth of that sum is. These are dinim that really are one and the same, meaning it's a little bit strange that the Mishnah adds here both Neter Avai and Maaser Sheni. It's really one halacha. Now, Neter Avai is derived in Kedushin Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis from a Gzeirah Shavah of Kodesh Kodesh from Maaser Sheni. Because in the case of Maaser Sheni, the Torah explicitly says Chamishaso Yosef Olav, and by virtue of the equation between Maaser Sheni and Neter Avai, we apply the same halacha to Neter Avai. That's called Gzeirah Shavah of Kodesh Kodesh mi Maaser Sheni. So since in Maaser Sheni we have Chomesh, therefore in Neter Avai, if he's being poda the pears of Neter Avai, he also has to add a Chomesh. HaPodes Hekdesha of Mosif Chomesh. If the poda is the owner of the animal that was Hekdesh, then he has to add a Chomesh. Somebody else who would be poda this animal is not required to add a Chomesh. Hanene Shova Pruta Min HaHekdesh. If a person enjoys the benefits of Hekdesh for himself on a personal level of Shogeg, is then Mosif Chomesh. He's got to pay Hekdesh for what he benefited, but he also has to add whatever he has to add for a Chomesh. Hanenesh of a Pruta Min HaHekdesh is he's chayv to pay Hekdesh and add to the Pruta a Chomesh. And finally, the last din in the Mishnah, HaGozel Es Chaver Shavu Pruta V'Nishpalo Mosif Chomesh. If the Gazlan stole a Shavu Pruta and he took a Shvua, a false oath, to the effect that he didn't steal it, now he wants to kapar, he wants to be machzer the Avedel Baleo, he should add a Chomesh onto the value that he stole. And that Chomesh is now given over to the Nigzal. And that's pretty much it for now as far as the Mishnah is concerned. And B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll cover the Sugyas HaGemara.